بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وبعد، فإن الله عز وجل Our dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are going to talk about a very, very important issue in our religion. We are going to talk about the Salat. And we are going to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he used to perform his Salat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And basically, this issue, I have in my mind two things to talk about it related to this issue. First, we'll talk about the Salat itself and the importance of the Salat. Then we will talk about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his Salat. But before that, why we need to talk about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his Salat. I'm sure that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all of us pray, and we know how to pray. Somebody say, what's the import, what's the new about that? We all prayed. I usually ask, yani, I did this in several occasions, several places. I ask people I pray with in my masjid, I ask them that this question: when you pray, have you ever read any book about prayer, or you learn how to pray through any scholars, or you just doing that because you have seen your parents doing this, or because you see the people in your country praying like this way? And 90% from the answers, and I want you to ask yourself now, why are you praying like this? The way you pray, is it because you're sure that this is the way the Prophet ﷺ prayed, or it is just because this is the way you're raised, this is the way your parents used to pray, or your teacher at the school teach you? Most of the answer was that we pray like this because this is the way we learn, or this is our culture, or whatever. We see the people praying like that. For instance, I tell the brothers who pray behind me in my masjid, for example, you see me, the imam, or some brothers, they pray. When we pray, we said Ameen out loud. You don't say Ameen. My point, have you ever asked yourself, why are they doing this and why I'm doing that? Why this person, when he pray, he put his hand, like for example, in his chest, somebody else on his navel or down... Why? Or somebody is not putting his hand at all. Why is that? Sorry. I forgot to turn it off. So, maybe some people think, oh, it's not important. But this is not the point. My point is, have we ever asked ourselves, did the Prophet ﷺ pray like this or that way? It's a very interesting, actually, to know how he exactly used to pray. Why it's very interesting and very important? Because the Salat is the most important thing in our religion. It is the most important thing in our religion. More, it's the most, again, most important thing in our religion. After saying La ilaha illallah, after accepting Islam, after believing in Islam, you cannot be Muslim until you pray. Yani, to that extent, the prayers is the main pillar of Islam. رواه البخاري ومسلم في صحيحيهما من حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه بني الإسلام على خمس. The Prophet ﷺ said Islam was established on five pillars, and he said the second pillar of them was the Salat. And Mu'adh رضي الله عنه said, I walked with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I'm riding my rider and he is in his rider. We're riding beside each other. Then he said, قُلْتُ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمْرٍ يُدْخِلُنِي الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَعِدُنِي مِنَ النَّارِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I would like you to tell me something. If I do it, they left the salat and prepared. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he order Muhammad sallallahu, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these five daily prayers obligated, it is the only rule in our religion been giving directly to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with no middle person, because always the revelation come through Jibreel. But the salat, no, it was a direct order. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hear it from by his ear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he been taken to the heavens in al-Isra. And this show you the value of this prayers. The value and the importance of these prayers. And always when you read in the Quran about the description of the believers, the first sign of any believer that he established the prayer. Such as, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, في أول سورة البقرة يقيمون الصلاة. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala في سورة المؤمنين قال, وفي سورة الإسراء وفي سورة المعراج المعارج قال, الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون, الذين هم على صلاتهم يحافظون. When he described the believer, he said that those who are doing their prayer on times. Always when he described the mu'mineen like that. On the other hand, when he described the kafirin, قَالُوا مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. Allah telling us that the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the wrongdoer, when they will gather in the fire, in the hellfire, they will ask each other, why you are here? What's led you to Saqar, to the hell? The first answer, قَالُوا مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. The first reason, the top reason, they said, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They said, we don't used to pray. Therefore we are here today. So we're talking about a very, very, very serious issue. I will tell you something very interesting. I found it that the person who doesn't pray, not because he doesn't believe in prayer, he believes in the prayer. Okay, he believes it's obligation, it's very important, but he's lazy, he's busy, he feels shy to pray. Oh, people, what they said about me, I became rather, you know, for any all these reasons people have and stopping them from prayer. That person, the scholars among every madhab in Muslims, scholars of school of thought, all the scholars agree upon that person, if there is a Muslim ruler, he should hold him and ask him to pray, and he should be asked to pray. Otherwise, they will deal with him as if he's a non-Muslim. Some of them said he became kafir, not Muslim, and some of them said no. We keep asking him, and even some of them said he should be, told it's a very serious, if you don't pray, you're not Muslim, and if you leave your Islam, your religion, there is a very harsh punishment for that. You see, I think any wise man, any wise woman, any wise person, he don't want to put himself in a situation whereas the scholars have a different opinion about him, he's Muslim or not Muslim. Because this is a very great risk to take this chance. Any wise person, he will not be able to accept to be in a position people have a different opinion about him. Even some scholars said that if you miss one prayer in purpose, intentionally, you just ignore it. This is by itself kufr. And this is like the most strict opinion, which is, I don't go with it. But to that extent, it's a very serious matter. For example, Al-Ahnaf, Hanafi scholar said, he should be yusjan. He should be, the Hanafi scholar said, if the person he doesn't pray at all, he might be put like locked up in the jail and be asked to pray. If he start praying, he will be released. If he doesn't, he will remain in the jail. And also, some of the scholars said, to that extent, they said he will be asked that it's a serious. He might be reached to be executed if he does not pray at all, if he refused. And he's been asked to pray. He said, no, I'm not going to pray. Kill me, but I'm not going to pray. That shows you that this heart has no faith. It reached that level, which has never happened. Because if he said, yeah, I'm going to pray, you just free yourself, even by talk. But to reach that level shows you that that heart does not have any iman. Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr, in Abu Bakr times, there is something happened that some people said, we are not going to give zakat anymore. We're not going to give zakat anymore. Khalas, this zakat for Muhammad. Muhammad passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no need for zakat. I want you to listen carefully to this conversations between Abu Bakr and Umar. The Sahaba asked Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr was going to fight them until they will give the zakat to return back to the Islam, because nobody changed the rules of Islam. What Abu Bakr said to Umar, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَأُقَاتِلَنَّ مَنْ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. The Sahaba were not sure about if somebody not giving the zakat, they should fight them, maybe they're still Muslim, you know? We're not sure about that. Umar to convince them, Abu Bakr to convince them that they should fight them, he told them, there is no difference between zakat and salat. This statement tells you that it was very clear in the mind of the Prophet companion that they all agree upon that whoever not pray, he deserves to be fight. So he used it as evidence to convince them, said, zakat is similar to salat. So since you agree with me about the salat, and he made analogy basically, the zakat similar to salat, so he takes the same rules. Show you that it's no doubt between the Prophet companion at that time, that the person who's not praying, rejecting the prayers, he's not among the Muslims. And he should be called seriously to Islam. Also, you see that whereas one of the tabi'een, his name Abdullah ibn Shaqiq al-Bulakhi, he said, I met 30 of the Prophet ﷺ companion. And he said, all of them agree upon that nothing in Islam, nothing of the rules of Islam, if you leave it, you become kafir, except the salat. It's the only action. If you left it completely, you're not Muslim. That's what he said from his experience with 30 of the Prophet ﷺ companion. And they are the most knowledgeable people of the deen, because they the one who were the Prophet, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, I will end with that, with this. Umar radiallahu anhu, as reported by al-Bukhari, before he died, he told the people around him, لا حظ في الإسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. لا حظ في صحيح البخاري في الإسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. He said, no chance for a person to claim he's Muslim if he doesn't pray. If he doesn't pray. And that's really one side of the picture. And the other side of the picture you will see the Prophet ﷺ also and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that whoever prayer, his reward, you can account his reward. He said sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, أفضل الأعمال عند الله الصلاة على وقتها. The best deeds in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes is to pray on time. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also that قال تحترقون تحترقون. You burn yourself. He meant by that, it's a kind of metaphor. You burn yourself, it means يعني with the sins. You're committing sins. Then you pray dhuhr, you purify yourself. Then he said, you burn yourself. تحترقون. Because this is the nature of a human being. We're making sins. After dhuhr, during the day, during the night. That's the nature. Nobody said, I don't make any wrong or mistakes. Then he said, you pray asr, you purify yourself. Then maghrib, you purify yourself. Then isha, you purify yourself. Then fajr, you purify yourself. And another way he gave it also in a very beautiful way. He explained in a very beautiful way. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَغْتَسِلُ مِنْهُ خَمْسَ مَرَّاتٍ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلِ. If one of you have a house, and this house next to a river, okay, like how, what, like next to the water, and he washed himself 5 times from this river, and river, it means running water, fresh water. It's not like, it doesn't smell like the oceans or the water smells, but the fresh water smells very good. He said, from this fresh water, he washed himself 5 times. There is any kind of a smell, or he will be, looks, remain in his body, or he will look dirty or something? No, wash himself 5 times a day. Well, he will be super clean. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is that exactly the example of the salat. You pray 5 times, you wash yourself 5 times. You will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean. No sin. Insha'Allah. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once been told about 2 brothers. One of them passed away. Then after 1 year, the other brother passed away. Then he heard his companion saying that the first brother was more righteous, and maybe he is higher ranks in Jannah than his brother, and the second one. قَالُوا لَعَلَّ أَخَاهُ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ كَلِمَةً عَجِيبَةً جِدًّا. The Nabi sallam said to them a very amazing words. قَالَ وَمَا يُدْرِيكُمْ لَعَلَّ الْآخَرُ فِي أَعْلَى مِنْهُ. He said, you don't know. You know, the other one, the second one, his degree higher than the first one. They said, how come ya Rasulullah? He wasn't that يعني, religious like the first one. قَالَ أَلَمْ يَكُنْ يُصَلِّي. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray? They said, yes. He said, so this number of prayers he prayed since his brother passed away during the whole year made his ranks higher than his brothers who passed away last year. Because basically that person got more time, more prayers than the first one. So this raised his degree in Jannah. Even though mighty not offered a lot of good, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us. He said, whoever pray his 5 daily prayers, his 5 daily prayers, and he fast the month of Ramadan, and he give the zakat, and he make the hajj, and before all of that, he has the tawheed, the right belief. He promised only this 5. If you fulfill it, your reward is Jannah, no doubt. In the other hand, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any woman She will worship Allah. تَعْبُدُ رَبَّهَا وَتَحْفَظُ فَرْجَهَا. She protects her chastity. وَتُصَلِّي فَرْضَهَا. She pray her 5 times daily prayers. And وَتَصُومُ شَهْرَ. She fast the month of Ramadan. And الْخَامِسَة. He said, وسلم, and she will pay or be good to her husband. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, she will be called in the day of judgment from the 8th gate of Jannah to enter from any gate she wish. To enter from any gate she wish. And if we talk about how the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the Quran and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his sunnah explained to us the great reward of the salat, it's a very long story. Innabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said that each sajda you make it, each sajda you make it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise your degree in Jannah 1 degree and give you a reward for it and will erase your sin for each sajda. And one of the Prophet ﷺ companion came to him and said, Ya Rasulallah, I love you so much in the sake of Allah. And I wish to companion you in Jannah like I'm companioning you today in this dunya. Tell me anything I will do, I can do so in order to be with you in Jannah, to companion you in Jannah. قال يا رسول الله إني لأرغب أود مرافقتك في الجنة. قال أعني على نفسك بكثرة السجود. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, so if you would like, if you want to do that, help me or help yourself by offering a lot of sujood. If you do so, you will be able to companion me in Jannah. Offering a lot of sujood, or makes a lot of sujood. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the closest time you will be to your Lord is when you pray. أقرب ما يكون العبد إلى ربي وهو ساجد while you're making your sujood. Wallahi, brother and sisters, I feel for myself, and I feel from the brother I know around me, that the salat, it became a culture thing. Sometimes for brothers or sisters who pray, they pray because like they used to that. We feel so many times this interest to pray, waiting for the prayer. Sa'id ibn Musayyab, one of the astabi'een, one of the scholars, he said, Wallahi, and he swear by Allah, that I never finish any salat unless I'm waiting for the next one. This is the intention. Whenever I pray Dhuhr, I'm looking forward for Asr. But us, believe me, this is not exist in our heart much. And this is something bad, it's not something good. The sign of Iman that the person loved the prayers, waiting for it. He have like a sensor or like a clock, a timer inside his heart. When the time prayer comes, like khalas, it's like, turn on. He want to go to pray. He feel like he want to go. He can't stop himself. I have to go to pray. I don't care about anything else. These hearts, which is connected to the salat, looking forward for the salat, is the hearts that the Prophet ﷺ said about them. They will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment. رجل قلبه معلق بالمساجد بالصلاة. بلا شك. And we really need to change this attitude toward the salat, that we're taking as something heavy or obligations or I have to do it. No, we need to enjoy ourselves in the prayer, and this is a very large subject how we can do that. We might in the end, if we have time, mention a couple of things to help us for that. But for sure, what we are going to talk about today, it will help us a lot, and we will feel that our salat looks different, feels different when you pray regard sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or when you try to pray as the Prophet ﷺ said. Because of all this, the importance of the Salat and how the Salat is important, and you see how the Prophet ﷺ warned us from leaving the Salat, and he prohibited us from leaving the Salat, and we hear also how the Prophet ﷺ recommended us to pray and told us about the great rewards of the praying. Therefore, we have to know how we can establish or how we can do this ibadah, this act of worship, right. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he used to teach the people how to pray. And there is no shame to learn how to pray. And it's very rare, right, for me as a speaker, to find somebody comes to me and said, "Sheikh, teach me how I pray right." But I was so happy when I hear this topic. And I feel this is more important than anything else. Because as you hear how important the salat, you make sure that you're doing the things right or perfect. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Pray your prayers as you see me praying it." You pray your prayers as you see me praying it. Have we seen him praying? No, we have not. He was saying this to the companion. But the companion told us how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. So we have no excuse, because the sunnah is been saved for us and to teach us how to pray. Also, you see in so many narrations, and we will go over that, we were talking, that the Prophet ﷺ companion used to gather other companion and used to gather some of their students, the second generation of Islam, which is the Tabi'een, the successors, to teach them how to pray. For example, this Abu Dawood narrated that Abu Hamid al-Sa'idi, one of the Prophet companion, and his narrations is very famous, and we're going to use it a lot today. He narrated to us how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. He gathered 12 or 30, I'm not sure now, from the Prophet ﷺ companion and his students in the mist. And he said, "I'm going to pray for you 2 rak'ah. I'm not praying this 2 rak'ah for any reason except I want you to look at me, how I'm praying, and to know this is the Prophet ﷺ prayer." Then the Prophet ﷺ, then he prayed. Then after that, all of them said, "Yes, this is the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, he's a young boy. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he spent with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 20 days learning, and he learned how to pray, and he used to teach people how to pray. And his hadith is very famous in this chapter of fiqh. He narrated to us how to pray. So also this is sunnah to learn how to pray, and the Prophet ordered us to do that. Before I start the prayer, I have to tell you something. And I believe it's very important. Maybe it's not directly related to the prayers, but I think we need to know this before we start. There is different opinion among scholars about the way the Prophet ﷺ performed his prayers. Because of that, you see different ways of prayers. And this should not confuse you. Because this difference has reasons. And I want you to listen carefully to that, because this confuses a lot of people. And so many people say, "Ya akhi, the Prophet is one prophet. Why we don't pray all like each other? Why this confusing?" I'll tell you. First of all, some of the salat actions, the Prophet ﷺ performed it in different ways himself. some of the actions, he did it in different ways, in different forms. Therefore, everybody narrates something, he's holding to it. So they not contradict each other. They do not contradict each other. But the sunnah is to do it sometimes and to leave it sometimes. Give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, when he used to go to sujood, he's standing and he will go to the sujood, sometimes he will raise his hand and will say Allahu Akbar, then he will go to the sujood. Sometimes he would not. He did both, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also, another example, when he make takbir, he will put his hand toward his shoulder, and sometimes his hand will be toward his ear, like this. So somebody said, oh, it's toward your next to your ear or next to your shoulder. The Prophet did both. So this is not, they do not contradict each other. The Prophet did in different ways. The way he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam for tashahhud, also it's a different, he performed it in different ways. So whatever you choose from it, alhamdulillah. This is one area. Second area, the scholar themselves sometimes they have different opinion about the salat or some of the action of the salat. This difference between them has also reasons. Some of them might quote hadith, and this hadith is not authentic. Some other scholars believe it's not authentic, and they use this weak narrations to prove something, but others said, no, this is weak narrations, you can use it. Okay? For instance, there is a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam end his salat with one taslima. He said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. That's it. Not two. There is narration. Some scholar quote this narration based on that said it's, he used to do it sometimes two, sometimes one. So they have a narration that he did it only one time on the right side. The other scholar said, no, this narration is weak. They said this narration is weak. And in fact, it is. Do you want to go details or no details? Interesting in details. Do you have a marker? Yeah, if you have a marker, just make things. Maybe it's a new for you. I know university is very interesting and learning more in details. By the way, it's not a lecture, so you can ask whenever or you have some.
That's one thing, sometimes when we perform this, some people, we put our hand,
touch
the ground.
Yeah, we'll come to that. Great. Just say, I want to give you an idea because I know this confuses a lot of you. Just very quickly. The hadith, let's say this is the Prophet hadith, or this is the Prophet, and the Prophet companion, they narrate. There is, like, for example, four of the Prophet narrate. Well, let's make it easy. One of the Prophet's companions narrates something about the Prophet. He said,